Wednesday, August 17, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hey, it is already Wednesday. Like, you're halfway through. You're almost through that work week and on to another weekend. And the good news is, now as these weekends come, oh, they're starting to get better and better. We're going from not having anything to watch to now getting into some football. Yes, it's preseason now, but hey, college football is coming quickly. The preseason will be wrapping up and we will be on to another season of football, and it just doesn't get any better than that. So hey, keep persevering. Push through your week and get to that weekend where we can enjoy actually sitting on our couch and having something to watch for a change. Hey, have you watched the new season of HBO's Hard Knocks yet? The latest season of Hard Knocks is covering the Detroit Lions. I know that doesn't sound great, but I'm telling you right now, Lions head coach Dan Campbell, that guy is intense. I mean, he burns it hard. Now, I'll give him this. They didn't really have a great record last year, but he got them to play hard last year. And I'm telling you, when you watch the show, it's kind of hard not to be cheering for the Lions. They get after it. They play hard. They're working. They're saying all the right things. They're trying to do the right things. And it's easy when you watch this show. We know. Going back years ago, you'd watch the Cowboys. You'd watch the Bengals. You'd start buying in on the Jets and going, hey, maybe this team is going to be better than I think. Because I'm watching them practice. I'm hearing the speeches. I'm getting kind of fired up. This might be good. They're getting after it. Maybe this year, the Detroit Lions are going to be pretty good. And then you remember that, like, their best offensive player is quarterback Jared Goff. And you snap back to reality and you go, oh, yeah, you know what? Never mind. You're still going to be awful. Also, Michigan rookie Aiden Hutchinson, he does look like he might be the real deal. I keep hearing how hard he works, how smart he is. Then again, he did forget the words to Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. So maybe we should ease back on how smart this young guy is. They did also advertise during Hard Knocks for another Hard Knocks they're going to have later during the season. And it's going to be an in-season Hard Knocks featuring the Arizona Cardinals. It'll be coming a little bit later. I think the biggest takeaway from that news is that I think it's pretty safe to say the Arizona Cardinals most likely are going to be an absolute dumpster fire this year. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the YouTube video. We have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need Daily Dose gear, you might need a t-shirt. You might need a sweatshirt. You might need a hoodie. You might need a coffee mug for your desk at work. Make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com. You can find the links to all those things. But we are putting up new articles every week. They are getting some reads. What? Yes, we are having people go over to DailyDoseSports.com checking out those articles, so we appreciate that. I usually release a new article on Tuesdays. Young Jimmy will drop an article on Thursdays. Be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and finding exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we've got a few more news stories that we're going to get to. But then, with that football season coming, and coming quickly, we are going to be jumping in to a few different teams that are still looking for a very, very important piece to their team. And they need to find it, and they need to find it very, very soon. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. You know, it isn't just college and the NFL that are coming. High school football is coming very, very quickly. Going to have a high school football flavored Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. Got to make sure you stick around for that. But let's go ahead and jump into some sports news, because one of the biggest stories of this past week comes to us from Major League Baseball, as San Diego Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. has been suspended for 80 games after he tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance that is in violation of Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program. Tatis will be on the restricted list for the final 48 games of the Padres' regular season. Any postseason games the Padres would play this season would count toward his 80-game total, but the remainder of that suspension will be served at the beginning of next season. Now, Fernando Tatis was on a minor league rehab assignment at the time of the suspension because he was missing the first 4 months of the season because of a broken left wrist because of a motorcycle crash that he had in December. And then he didn't have surgery on that wrist until like mid-March. Because again, this guy makes really, really good decisions. Now, his suspension was announced by MLB last Friday, and it was effective immediately, meaning that he cannot play in the majors at all this year. In a statement, here's what Tatis had to say. First, he said he is not appealing the ban because it was his mistake that led to the positive test. But he said this. He said, "It turns out that I inadvertently took a medication to treat ringworm that contained this substance. Close to bowl? I should have used the resources available to me in order to ensure that no banned substances were in what I took, and I failed to do so." Now, I actually give him a little bit of credit because at least he didn't do the whole, you know, "I have no idea how this happened, but I pledge to you and to all of baseball, I'm going to get to the bottom of it," because we all know how it happened. This isn't a mystery. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science. You wanted to recover from an injury sooner than you were recovering, so you took something. That's not that hard. But let me ask you all a question. Let's just say that you have a job, and for that job, you get paid millions of dollars. However, one of the drawbacks of your job to this, you know, million-dollar job is that you have to pass drug tests just here and there, randomly. Do you think you might know the substances that would get you suspended from that job? Yeah, I would too. So when I hear the, "Well, I just took a medicine, it was prescribed by my doctor to treat my herpes or whatever he had," I immediately just go, "Yeah, that's BS." Because I promise you, I read the prescriptions my doctor gives me now. And I don't have to pass a drug test to work at the Daily Dose. So label me a skeptic every single time, because when I hear these people say, "Well, I just didn't know that I took this thing." Why wouldn't you? Your job depends on it. You know there's a laundry list of things you're not allowed to take, and yet you're saying, "I had no idea. I just didn't know that it was on the list. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken it." There's no way that's true. Every time I hear those kind of excuses, I'm a skeptic. Because I just hear these guys go, "Yeah, you know what? That one slipped by me." Yeah, I'm not buying that. Ever. You know you did it. Just admit it. Again, suspensions in the world of professional sports, they are not for banned substances. They are for stupidity. And that is why Tatis is suspended. Because he was stupid. Let's be real clear about that. Moving over to college football, you know we're going to be talking college football more and more. Going to be talking on this week's show. Going to be jumping into it full steam next week. But the first AP college football poll came out this week. You know, we had the coaches poll last week, but this is the first top 25 that was released by the media so far. No real major differences between this one and the coaches poll. Alabama comes out at number one. No surprise. Defending champ Georgia is number two. Number three goes to Ohio State. Number four goes to Clemson. Number five goes to Notre Dame. Exact same poll as what the coaches was. And then, you know, we have a couple of minor differences, but, you know, nothing that big. Maybe the biggest difference between the media poll and the coaches poll is that in the media poll, there was no lone idiot voting Texas number one, like Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian obviously did, voting for himself. But other than that, the two polls are really, really similar. Notre Dame is probably too high. at 5, that seems a little bit high. I understand they're bringing back their offensive line, most of their defensive line. They've got some pieces to figure out, and we don't know how that coaching situation is going to come out. I think he's going to be okay, but he's a young guy. That could be a little bit rocky for a little while. The bottom line is this. The first month of college football rankings, whether it's the coaches poll, whether it's the media poll, they shouldn't even be released. They shouldn't count in any way. And I know that we look at these and we say, well, they're kind of meaningless, right? And they kind of are. I get it. But when you base your poll on what the previous rankings were, then you go back to week one and we go, well, wait a minute. Week one was totally stupid. It shouldn't even count. I mean, it's all 100% just based on last year. So they shouldn't base any future polls on any of this nonsense because it's based literally on nothing. I understand why they release these rankings. Just don't tell me come October, well, you know, we had Notre Dame ranked at 5. We couldn't move them because they were ranked at 5 to start. Well, why were they ranked there to begin with? That's my only problem with these early polls. They're completely worthless. Let's go ahead and watch these teams play some games before we have any official rankings. These are just polls. But when we get to real rankings that actually affect who's going to end up in the college football playoff, these polls should be completely thrown out because they're not based on anything whatsoever. Moving over to a sport that we don't talk all that much of, but we're going to talk a little Premier League again, because did you see my Tottenham squad on Sunday? Oh boy. I'm telling you what, if you missed it, first off, last week on the Dose, I declared my allegiance to my new Premier League team last week. I have adopted Tottenham as my new team. In fact, I guess I need to get like a Tottenham pennant. Maybe I need like a Tottenham shirt. I don't know. I'm going to have to get some stuff. Anyways, on Sunday this past week, my Tottenham team faced Chelsea, one of their big rivals. One of their teams that kind of a little bit of a nemesis to them. In 175 total games, Tottenham has won 54 times. Well, on Sunday, they once again found themselves trailing 2-1 in, get this, the 96th minute. Yes, extra time was being played. And to be honest, Chelsea dominated for most of the day. But then sometimes in the world of, you know, soccer, things don't always make sense. And in the 96th minute, my boy, Harry Kane, found a header off a corner kick for the equalizer. And the Spurs pulled an unlikely draw. Now, let me ask you this. Is it my fandom that got them a draw against a team that they struggle to compete with? Chelsea dominates Tottenham. Is it just because I announced that I'm now a fan that changed things? Yeah, it probably is. I'm going to go ahead and take an assist on that header from Harry Kane that gave them the tie. Having said that, I fully expect Tottenham to lose next Sunday to Wolverhampton or whoever they play. It's just how they roll. I know they're going to look good. They're going to get my hopes up, and then they're going to break my heart. That is why I picked Tottenham, because I just know that's how they roll. And I know that's the kind of team that I feel would be a good fit for me at this time. One final story that we do need to talk about. Not sure if you saw this. Do you realize that former NFL star Earl Thomas, remember Earl Thomas, played with Seattle Seahawks, played a little bit with Baltimore. His home in Texas has been declared a total loss after being engulfed in flames last week. Now, according to TMZ Sports, officials believe that Earl Thomas's home was struck by lightning, which sparked a devastating blaze and burned the house to the ground. No one is believed to have been in the home at the time of the fire, according to the Little Cypress Fire Department. But during his 10-year NFL career with the Seattle Seahawks and Baltimore Ravens, Earl Thomas earned a Super Bowl ring. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler, and he was a 5-time All-Pro. But you might also remember this little gem from his career, because it was back in 2020 that Earl Thomas was held at gunpoint by his wife, Nina, because and I'm going to warn you, it's going to get a little bit bumpy. Apparently, his wife had caught him in bed with some other women and his brother, Seth.
Gross!
Yeah. So she got mad, got the gun out, held him at gunpoint, was, I don't know, trying to get him to confess or whatever he was doing, trying to get him to apologize. Police came, arrested her, took her away. Now, Earl Thomas's house is struck by lightning and it burns to the ground. I mean, you do the math. Hey, sometimes God works in mysterious ways. And sometimes it's really not all that mysterious, is it? Okay, coming back. The college football and NFL seasons are nearly upon us. And there are still a few teams in both college and the NFL that are actually still trying to figure out who their starting quarterback is going to be. We're going to take a look at the best quarterback battles to watch early this season when we get back. This might sound a little bit crazy, but do you realize that we are just 10 days away from the start of college football season? Like real live games, not like fake things or practice. Like real games are going to be starting in just 10 days. And yet, there are still a number of programs, and I mean big time programs. I'm talking blue blood programs that are still trying to figure out who their starting quarterback is going to be. Now, it can be a little bit harder at the college level. You have to gauge them based solely on how they look in practice. You'll use your first couple of games to make sure of your choice, but you don't have a preseason game. You don't have those kind of scrimmages to really figure that out. But if you're going to be a true contender, you had better sort out that quarterback position or it's going to be very, very tough. Now, understand, I'm not saying every one of these teams has a quarterback controversy, but I am saying that they could. Let's start off with a huge one. Because last season, everything kind of broke right for the Michigan Wolverines. They finally beat their arch rival Ohio State. They went to the college football playoff. Well, quarterback Cade McNamara started all 14 games for them. He threw 15 touchdowns. He looked pretty good. So how is this a controversy in any way? Well, mostly because sitting behind him is five-star stud sophomore J.J. McCarthy, who has looked extremely sharp, and he's more mobile, and he has a knack for making those big plays. Now, McNamara is the more steady player. McCarthy is probably the more exciting player. I would think McNamara wins this job, but if things get a little bit stagnant, I don't think Jim Harbaugh will hesitate to at least take a look at McCarthy and see if he can't shake some things up. Michigan will be taking a hard look at their quarterback position. Next up, we head down to SEC country, where Ole Miss only has 11 total starters back. From a team that went 10-3 last year, we kind of forget they were that good. But head coach Lane Kiffin, he doesn't just have to replace some random starters. He also has to replace three-year starting quarterback Matt Corral. Well, he convinced Jackson Dart to transfer from USC to battle with Luke Altmaier, who was backing up Corral last year. You might think because he was already there, Altmaier has an advantage. And he might have a little bit of one, but Jackson Dart is a guy that really looked like he was the real deal last year when he did play at USC. I think he will end up beating out Altmaier and take over the starting job down at Ole Miss. You know, Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for LSU because he said he was tired of not playing on a level playing field as far as the recruits that could actually get enrolled. So off to Baton Rouge he went, where he suddenly picked up a Southern accent.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited.
Well, he also has a quarterback problem. He has three quarterbacks, maybe even a fourth, that could win the starting job. Jaden Daniels transferred to Baton Rouge after 3 years at Arizona State. Miles Brennan is a fifth-year senior who has spent his entire career at LSU, but remember, Brian Kelly wasn't there. Well, get this. Miles Brennan just announced this week that he was going to retire from football. And then Garrett Nussmeier played in 4 games for LSU last year. He looked pretty good in the spring. So now, I don't know, maybe Nussmeier wins the job early, but then I think Daniels ends up being the guy. Brian Kelly, I know he wanted to go to the SEC. I know he wanted to go recruit the big-time players. He might have a little bit of a struggle coming for him in the immediate future. I think eventually he'll get things going. He's going to have to find a quarterback before he does anything, though. You know, all the talk down in Austin is about how the Texas Longhorns are, one, going to be joining the SEC, and, two, they're going to pick up national quarterback recruit Arch Manning. But remember, Manning won't be going to Texas until next year. So right now, head coach Steve Sarkisian, he's got his hands full. He's got a quarterback competition between Quinn Ewers and Hudson Card. Now, Card started 7 games for Texas last year. He threw 5 touchdowns. He had just 1 interception. Looked solid. But Quinn Ewers is a 5-star talent. He's going to be really tough to hold off. He was one of the best high school quarterbacks in the country. You might remember he started his career at Ohio State. Now he's at Texas, and he wants to be the starter. I think this competition is going to be really, really fun to watch. I think Ewers is eventually going to be on top. And then it's going to be interesting to see, can he hold off Arch Manning? But that'll come later. You know, there are some really big expectations in College Station again this year, speaking of Texas, because Jimbo Fisher, he just keeps getting big-time recruits to come to Texas A&M. But he's got a tough decision to make at quarterback. Haynes King was the starter early last year, and he looked pretty good. But then he got injured in like the second game of the year. He's knocked out for the year. Max Johnson transferred in from LSU, where he threw 35 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions last year. Connor Weigman is a talented freshman. He was the number 2 recruit in the country. Now, King and Johnson, they should be the favorites to be the starter at Texas A&M. But I won't be surprised to see both of them get snaps. Jimbo Fisher, he may just roll each one of them out and kind of see who the hot hand is. I think Max Johnson is eventually going to be the starter for Texas A&M. After a down year in 2021, where the Clemson Tigers scored just 26 points per game, there are a number of people wondering, maybe Clemson is done. Maybe their run is kind of over. They've lost a number of players over the last few seasons. They've lost a lot of coaching staff over the last few seasons. But after having guys like Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson, I know, forget the massages, and Taj Boyd, they've had some pretty good quarterbacks. But then last year, quarterback DJ Uiagalelei, he was very, very average. He threw 9 touchdowns and had 10 interceptions. Can you imagine that happening with any of those previous quarterbacks I mentioned? Well, DJ is back this year, thinks he's going to figure it out. He's going to turn around. He's going to get things cranked up. Meanwhile, the Tigers also recruited the number 6 overall quarterback in the country, Cade Klubnik, who won high school state titles in the state of Texas. And Klubnik is one of those guys, he's not a dink and dunk guy. He's going to come out and he's going to throw the ball down the field. Now, here's one of those situations where the crowd might be cheering for one guy and the coaching staff is picking the other guy. Your crowd can turn on you real quick. They may want to see Klubnik come out and do some exciting things, but Uiagalelei, I mean, he's a little more steady. Maybe he'll take care of the ball a little bit better this year. I think this job will go to DJ, but I expect Klubnik to get some time, and it could be some big time that could swing the crowd in his favor. Moving out west, the Oregon Ducks have a new head coach in Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning, and he is going to have to pick a new quarterback in his first year too, because Auburn transfer Bo Nix will be doing his best to win the job. He comes in. He should win it. It shouldn't be a problem. Bo Nix should absolutely be the starter for Oregon. But we know Bo Nix. Sometimes he makes crazy, insane plays instead of just making the easy play. And if he does it, and he does it too much, don't be surprised to see Lanning go to freshman Ty Thompson, a really athletic kid from Arizona. Is he ready? Probably not. But Dan Lanning is going to go to Oregon. He is going to try to play defense and control the football. And sometimes Nix doesn't take care of the ball that well. And he might have to take a seat and think about, you know, what he's done. And if that's the case, Ty Thompson could be headed into the game. You might remember from last year, the Pitt Panthers sent quarterback Kenny Pickett onto the NFL, and now head coach Pat Narduzzi has a tough decision to make. He got Keaton Slovis to transfer from USC to Pitt, and he has Pickett's backup from last year, Nick Patty, who, I mean, looked pretty solid last year as a backup when he did get the chance. Patty threw for 458 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. He didn't play much. I just think watching Keaton Slovis, I think he could be an absolute star. He had some really impressive games at Southern Cal. I expect Slovis to be the starter for Pitt. We finish up our best quarterback battles in college football to watch this year with the Cincinnati Bearcats, a team that broke through last year and became the first Group of Five team not named Notre Dame to make the college football playoff. Sure, they got thumped by Alabama, but hey, they made it. And head coach Luke Fickell, he's looking to be pretty good again this year. But quarterback Desmond Ridder is gone. And Fickell's going to have to choose between Evan Prater, who is Ridder's backup, and showed some promise, and a guy by the name of Ben Bryant, a player that was at Cincy for 3 seasons. He left last year for Eastern Michigan. Now he's back. Both quarterbacks could see time. I think Bryant's experience pays off in the end, but some very, very interesting quarterback battles to watch at the college football level. And those are going to be playing out through the first 2, 3, 4 games of the season, maybe even into conference play, until these coaches can finally see who is going to play the best when the lights are the brightest. And it really, really matters, because practice, I can only tell so much. A kid might look great in practice, go out in the game, and look terrible. So we'll see how some of those quarterback battles at the college football end up. Let's switch over to the NFL, because we know there are some jobs that are still open, and some of these, they might not be clinched until like the final preseason game. Even then, there could be some questions even going into the regular season. But which teams are still trying to find their quarterback? There actually might be more than you would think. You know, with Ben Roethlisberger hanging up his cleats, well, honestly, about 5 years too late, the Pittsburgh Steelers are trying to find their new quarterback. The problem is that they have 3. Now, the incumbent is Mason Rudolph, he of the dented head variety. But Mason Rudolph has now played 13 games in the NFL. He's thrown 16 touchdowns, but he's also thrown 11 interceptions. Not exactly a sure thing. The Steelers also moved up in this last NFL draft to select Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett, who we were just talking about. But it doesn't sound like through training camp that Pickett is anywhere near being ready for primetime. His little baby hands have looked absolutely overwhelmed so far. I think they're going to have to sit him down for a year or two. So right now, in Pittsburgh, it is looking like cast-off Mitchell Trubisky might be the guy. I mean, he has been the most consistent quarterback for Pittsburgh through camp so far. And the Steelers are hoping that Trubisky can be the guy. But I mean, when you hear that, it sounds crazy. Mitch Trubisky is going to play well for the Steelers. But honestly, could he be any worse than Big Ben was the last few seasons? No, I don't think he could. Don't be surprised if Trubisky ends up getting that starting job. We move next to a team, a playoff team at that, that when I say it, you're going to think, wait a second, they don't have a quarterback controversy. Hear me out. Because the Tennessee Titans might develop a quarterback controversy. I know, they have Ryan Tannehill. I know, Ryan Tannehill is really athletic. I know Ryan Tannehill is probably better than he gets credit for being. And behind Ryan Tannehill is who? Liberty rookie Malik Willis. There's no way that Malik Willis is ready. There's no real threat there, right? And yet, remember last year in the AFC divisional playoff game when the Tennessee Titans were at home against the Cincinnati Bengals? And Ryan Tannehill went out there and threw 3 interceptions, and the Titans got beat 19-16. And honestly, after that game, there was a genuine feeling that Tannehill had pretty much crushed the Titans by himself. And the game was at home, and the home crowd was not happy. Are you really going to tell me that if Tannehill comes out this year and plays poorly, the home crowd won't be begging to see Malik Willis instead? Yeah, if Tannehill comes out and looks bad early, that absolutely will happen. Hey, Ryan Tannehill needs to have a very good start to this season and let everyone know there is no question who our starting quarterback is. It is me. I am the guy, and no one's even close. Tannehill had better have a good start to this season, or a quarterback controversy will start brewing. And I realize Malik Willis is not ready, but you watch. The fans will jump on wanting to see that kid real quick if Tannehill doesn't take care of the football. We move next to the nation's capital, where the Washington Commanders seem to be the perfect representation for Washington, D.C. I mean, think about it. They're inept. They're incompetent. They make illegal deals. It's truly amazing. Well, in true Washington style, they went out this offseason and they traded 3 draft picks to Indianapolis for quarterback Carson Wentz. I mean, that might have been a great deal back in 2017, but in 2022, that's not a great deal. And so far in training camp, Carson Wentz has been very mediocre. Maybe he's been injured too much. Maybe he's been sacked too much. I don't know what the deal is. I know this. It's not going well for Carson Wentz. And if it continues, and it probably will, then I'm going to say that the fans are going to be screaming for Taylor Heinicke. Even though Taylor Heinicke is more of a scrappy quarterback than a really skilled, talented quarterback, but at least he'll go out and scrap. At least he'll go out and fight and try to win a football game. I don't know if Taylor Heinicke is the answer, but I'm pretty sure that Carson Wentz isn't the answer. And if Wentz goes out and he looks terrible, those Washington fans are going to remember when he was in Philly. They're going to let him have it, and they're going to be screaming for the backup. Hey, Washington has a mess on their hands at quarterback. They need Carson Wentz to be someone that he has not been in about 5 years. And I don't know how likely that is. One more quarterback battle to take a look at before we go to the break. We all know that Deshaun Watson is at least going to be suspended for some time this year, right? Okay, so while he's out, who did the Cleveland Browns start? Because they do have a bit of a decision to make. Jacoby Brissett is the backup. Then you have Josh Rosen, who is listed at third string. Well, here are the first 6 games for the Browns. And remember, the Cleveland Browns, with Deshaun Watson, they absolutely have playoff aspirations. Their games to start the season are at the Carolina Panthers, that's winnable. Home against the New York Jets, also winnable. Home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that might be tough. At the Atlanta Falcons, okay, that's a breeze. Home against the Los Angeles Chargers, that's probably a loss. Home against the New England Patriots, that's probably a loss. Hey, you need to go 3-3 there. If you go 2-4, that could be a problem. If Jacoby Brissett is named a starter and he struggles and the Browns lose a game that they should win or lose 2 games, we may see a change coming because they can't afford to get too far behind, or they might be asking way too much of a quarterback that hasn't played for over a year. I know everyone is just, well, put in Deshaun, everything will be better. Remember, he hasn't played in quite a while. I think he'll be okay, but it may take a little while when he comes back. And you're jumping into those divisional games. If he struggles at all, you could be dropping another game or 2 or 3. And suddenly the Browns season gets in doubt real, real quick. Okay, coming back, we have a few more quarterback battles to look at in the NFL, including one on a team that does have some big-time postseason aspirations. Plus, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. I told you earlier, it is a little bit high school football flavored. Think about this for a second. Think of the greatest high schools in your state where you live, and how many players are they sending on to the NFL? We're going to talk about that when we get back. So this week on the Daily Dose, we are actually looking at some of the best college football and NFL quarterback battles. And we have four more NFL teams that are still trying to find their starting quarterback for the upcoming season. And one of these teams has a pretty good roster, and they've definitely got playoff aspirations, but they have some things to figure out before we get to that point. First off, though, let's start off with a team that doesn't have playoff aspirations. Because the Atlanta Falcons, yeah, they're a hot mess. The defense is always a problem. And then, this past offseason, they went and traded quarterback Matt Ryan away. So, now you have a battle for the starting quarterback job, but it's between three players that, honestly, probably shouldn't be starting anywhere. First, we have quarterback Marcus Mariota. Hey, we all remember when Mariota came out of Oregon, he went to Tennessee, and we were all looking at him saying, hey, he has the tools. He's got the arm. He's got the ability. He's got the elusiveness. Maybe he's going to be the guy. He seems like a decent dude. But he never did much of anything. Never really turned out. Then he ended up with the Raiders, and he also did nothing there. So right now, he looks like the leading candidate to take over in Atlanta. That's not a good sign. Then you have the rookie out of Cincinnati, Desmond Ridder. Hey, I like some of what Ridder brings to the table, but he doesn't strike me as being NFL ready just yet. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be NFL ready. The problem that I see in Ridder, he struggles a little bit to throw off the run, which is odd because he's kind of a scrambler kind of guy, but his accuracy really, really drops. So I like some of his scrambling ability. I'm just not sure he can throw it accurately when he does scramble. I suppose we could also throw second-year quarterback Felipe Franks into the mix. Is he ready? No, probably not. But are any of these guys? I strongly doubt it. I think Marcus Mariota wins the starting job in Atlanta. But I mean, honestly, who knows? It could be any of the three. And the bottom line is that I think whoever wins it is going to get beat up a lot. And remember that defense, it's never, ever good. So not going to be a good situation in Atlanta all the way around. Next up, we have the quarterback battle going on in the NFL that might be one of the closest of all of them. The Carolina Panthers brought in Sam Darnold last year thinking, well, he's been stuck with the New York Jets. He needs a new atmosphere. It's not that he can't play. It's just that he has to get out of New York, and then he'll magically be good. He was not. He started strong. It looked like, man, the Jets really missed out. Sam Darnold can play. And then he faded really, really fast. So this season, the Panthers went out and they brought in Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. So far, it sounds like Mayfield is actually beating out Darnold. I expect Baker Mayfield to take this job. Remember with Cleveland, when he was healthy, there were times he looked like a real quarterback. The problem is he's not often healthy. And the problem in Carolina is going to be keeping him healthy. So that could be a struggle. Now, I think Baker ends up winning the job. I think he'll be better than Sam Darnold. But at times, we know Baker can struggle. And when he does, I fully expect Darnold to go into the game and immediately make everything worse. But a very, very interesting battle shaping up with the Carolina Panthers. Now, next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers, who are widely considered to be a top, maybe a top five team in the NFL. They have a ton of talent all over the field. Defense, offense, skill position, they've got a lot. The problem is that we still aren't exactly sure what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. Because they do still have Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, is there anybody in the league? Is there another quarterback in the league right now that is more forgotten than Jimmy Garoppolo? They're like, oh yeah, who does San Francisco have again? Oh yeah, he's gone to the Super Bowl. Like he's done some things. And yet, it's really hard to remember that he's even there. But they also have Trey Lance. And they are big on Trey Lance. I believe that front office really wants to turn the keys over to Trey Lance. But how do you do that? You don't want to cut Jimmy G, because if you do, he could go sign with a rival. And there is a rival team that could desperately need him. But can you trade and get anything for Jimmy Garoppolo? Well, he's been hurt. He had that shoulder injury, and he hasn't really thrown. So what I think they have to do, my guess is San Francisco plays Garoppolo in a few preseason games, and then if he shows he can still throw it, they ship him off for whatever they can get, and they turn the keys over to Trey Lance. However, there is one thing that will throw a major wrench into the works. If Trey Lance goes out in the preseason and he doesn't play well, well, then what do? You're going to be stuck with Jimmy G, and you're going to have to give Trey another year to hopefully learn, hopefully figure things out. This battle, to me, is the most interesting of all to watch, because we're not talking about a cellar dweller team. We're talking about one of the best teams in the league. But can they figure out their quarterback? That is going to be hugely important to their season. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have another team that honestly is probably going to be among the worst teams in the NFL. And one of the major reasons, not the only reason, but one of the big reasons, is because they flat out do not have a quarterback. They did, but they don't anymore. Because the Seattle Seahawks traded Russell Wilson to Denver, thank you, in return for a few draft picks, a couple of players, and quarterback Drew Lock. So everyone around the nation in sports media, I know here in Denver, they were saying the same thing. Well, maybe Drew Lock is going to go to Seattle and flourish. The problem in Denver wasn't Drew Lock. It was the coaching staff. It was Vic Fangio. It was the offense. It was the offensive coordinator. They made up a lot of excuses for Drew Lock. Look, I watched every snap that fool took in Denver. You could put him in like Air Coryell's offense. He isn't going to be good. You know why? He's not very good at playing football. So when he went to Seattle, I was going, okay, first off, good riddance. Bring us Russ. But second off, if you think he's going to go up there and just blow up, I think you probably haven't watched him very much. Right now, going into this preseason, they are saying that Drew Lock isn't even going to be the starter. They're saying he's getting beat out by Geno Smith. Now, I want you to stop. I want you to think about that for a second. Geno Smith is beating out someone.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
I wasn't aware that he could beat out anyone, but here we are. The problem, again, Drew Lock, it's not an arm thing. It's not a legs thing. It's a brain thing. Doesn't make good decisions. Doesn't have any poise or presence in the pocket. And then, and this is big, doesn't hold on to the football. I'm not talking about holding on to it to pass. I'm talking about he'll be in the pocket and then he'll drop the ball like it's hot. It's a really, really odd characteristic of a quarterback who you are hoping is going to do something for your franchise. Hey, these quarterback situations, they can change at any second. You could see an injury. You could see the starter go down. You could see the backup go down. You could see an offensive lineman or a skill position guy go down. And you know, it might not be the quarterback, but it's going to affect that quarterback. Hey, naming that starter can completely change the outcome of your season. You name a player to be your starting quarterback that the team doesn't want, you run the risk of losing your locker room. You name a player that the fans don't want, you may run the risk of losing your home crowd because they become hostile. And every time that player makes a mistake, they're screaming for the backup. They're booing you. Hey, it's not easy. This is what those coaches get paid the big bucks for. Hey, no big deal. Go pick a quarterback. It's just your career, right? Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose top five. Hey, it isn't just the NFL and college football that are getting started. High school football is kicking off all across the country over the next few weeks. You know, when you think about it, high school football is kind of insane. You know, maybe you played high school football. I played 2 years of high school football. Maybe your friends did, or a sibling did, or a boyfriend or a husband or whoever. Maybe you were a high school football player. I want you to think about something. Right now, in the United States, there are about 1,093,000 high school football players. Nearly 1.1 million kids will play high school football. 6.5% of those will go on to play in college. That is a huge drop off. I mean, you go from 1.1 million down to 71,000 to ever play any college ball of any kind. That drop off from college to pro is even more dramatic, because from those 71,000 college players, only 1.2% will go on and play in the NFL, which means that out of nearly 1.1 million high school players, only around 800 will eventually play professionally. That is right around 1 in 1,300. Now, 1 in 1,300 doesn't sound bad. If you're playing the lottery, you go, hey, 1 in 1,300, I might win something. But that's actually about the same odds as you getting struck by lightning. So it's not great. The odds are most definitely not in your favor. And yet, we know kids every day are strapping it up and saying, hey, I'm going to play in the NFL. Well, today on our Daily Dose Top 5, we have five high schools that are somehow doing it better than most. Because today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top five high schools that have produced the most NFL players. I don't know how they're doing it. Is it the coaching? Is it the mentality? I don't know, but I know this. For some reason, these five schools are sending kids onto the NFL, and they're doing it better than anyone else. We start off at the number five spot. And actually, we have a tie for the number five spot. So we have two teams at four, I guess, right? Whatever. Coming in at number five is a high school in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles out in California. Because Susan Miller Dorsey High School has sent 35 players from its high school to the NFL. Now, to be fair, the strength of the NFL alumni coming out of Dorsey is mostly older players, but the school does still have a few recent players that have made it all the way to the NFL. Dorsey also produced a coach that coached in the NFL, but then you might remember the Cleveland Browns fired Hugh Jackson during the 2018 season. However, the school's most famous former player, probably former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. But Dorsey also has many notable graduates. I'm not even talking about football. Baseball Hall of Famer Sparky Anderson, former Major League Baseball All-Star Chili Davis, and reality TV judge Joe Brown all went to Dorsey High School. But you might remember a few of the NFL players that came out of Dorsey as well. Miami Dolphins running back Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Broncos defensive back Bernard Jackson was also a Dorsey Don. So was Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Butch Johnson. We already mentioned Keyshawn. Chargers pass rusher Chris Mims. Chiefs defensive back Charles Mincy. Broncos safety Raheem the Dream Moore, who I'm still mad at. And Seahawks running back Chris Warren all went to Susan Miller Dorsey High School. With a total of 35 players, Susan Miller comes in at five, or tied for four, whatever. We move on to number four. And anyone who follows the NFL knows that the state of Florida is an absolute hotbed for football talent. And the city of Miami, yeah, it's right around the center of that hotbed. Because Miami Northwestern Senior High School has produced not just NFL players. I'm talking about big time players. I'm talking about Pro Bowl players. Guys like Amari Cooper and Levante David. Teddy Bridgewater went to Miami Northwestern. So did Artie Burns. Hey, you can see how Miami Northwestern is one of those schools that has been named national champion. Now, I got to say this. Miami Northwestern did have some controversy. It was kind of ugly. Back in 2006, the head football coach and his entire staff were actually fired for covering up a sex scandal that involved their star running back. Not good. So even though 98% of the players like had nothing to do with it, the entire team was placed on probation for 1 year as a result of the cover-up, and the coaching staff was fired. But they do have quite an impressive list of guys that have gone on to play in the NFL. Of course, a number of players did play at the U. They played at Miami. Players like Broncos running back Melvin Bratton. But Cowboys wide receiver Antonio Bryant, he was a Bull. I mentioned Amari Cooper. Miami offensive lineman Vernon Carey. Jets linebacker Marvin Jones. Lions wide receiver Brett Perryman. Tampa linebacker Nate Webster all attended Miami Northwestern, which has also sent 35 players to the NFL. That lands them today at number 4, or tied at 4, 5, whatever. You get it. There's two teams that both have 35. They come in at 4 and 5. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. We arrive at number 3. And South Florida actually gets back-to-back entries today on our Daily Dose Top 5 with St. Thomas Aquinas High School. It is the largest Catholic high school in the country by enrollment numbers. And I'm telling you, St. Thomas Aquinas, it is a who's who of South Florida studs who went from this high school to the NFL. Michael Irvin, Geno Atkins, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, they all played at St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, St. Thomas has won 11 state titles. They have won 3 high school national championships. St. Thomas Aquinas has had a crazy run of producing NFL players. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas has actually produced more NFL players than some colleges, because they have produced 37 NFL players. This is a pretty solid list coming out of St. Thomas Aquinas. Bengals running back Giovanni Bernard. Patriots wide receiver Philip Dorsett. You might remember Marcus Gilbert, who played offensive line for the Steelers. Bears wide receiver Brian Piccolo. Yes, you remember Brian Piccolo, Gale Sayers, that all thing. Brian Piccolo was a Raider. Patriots running back James White, Bears defensive back Major Wright. They all played for St. Thomas Aquinas, located in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Raiders have sent 37 players onto the NFL, and that lands them today on our list at number 3. We arrive at the number 2 high school that has sent the most players to the NFL ever. And we get to a school that Sports Illustrated actually called the sports school of the century. And I mean, for good reason. Because it's one thing to have players come out of your school. It's another thing to have big time NFL players come out of your school. But guys like DeSean Jackson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Willie McGinnis, they are just a few of the NFL players who have come out of Long Beach Poly in California. Long Beach Poly has sent 58 players to the NFL. And again, that's better than some pretty good colleges. 58? That's more than South Florida has sent to the NFL. They've only sent 56. That's more than Central Michigan has sent to the NFL. They've only sent 49. And again, it's not just football players coming out of Long Beach Poly. Hall of Fame baseball player Tony Gwynn, tennis player Billie Jean King, they came out of Long Beach. Actress Cameron Diaz, of course, Snoop Dogg went to Cal Poly. But think of the NFL players that did come out of Cal Poly. Raider Hall of Fame defensive back Willie Brown. Buccaneers wide receiver Mark Carrier. Titans defensive lineman Jarrell Casey. Cowboys wide receiver Tony Hill. Eagles offensive lineman Winston Justice. Jaguars tight end Mercedes Lewis. Chiefs wide receiver Stephon Page. Oh yeah. And a guy by the name of Carl Weathers, who played for the Raiders, but you actually might know him more from the Rocky movies, when he was Apollo Creed.
Who's he?
His name is Carl Weathers, and he's my new acting teacher. And Lindsay, he's teaching me all these valuable life lessons.
Long Beach Poly has sent 58 players to the NFL. And for that, they come in today at number 2. Yeah, so who could be 1? More than 58? That's insane. So we arrive at the number 1 high school that has sent the most players onto the NFL. But I'm going to be honest, Our next school, I don't know, they might need a little bit of an asterisk. Because not only is it a high school, it's also a postgraduate school that many kids go to prep for college. But again, this school is sending some big time talent to the NFL. I am talking about Fork Union Military Academy, located in Fork Union, Virginia. And you have players coming out of there like Heisman winners. Vinny Testaverde and Eddie George were both out of Fork Union Military Academy. Pro Bowl wide receivers Plaxico Burress and Michael Thomas were both Blue Devils. It's not just the school. I mean, you're going to get that military academy discipline. You're going to teach kids how to be good students, how to take what they learn in the classroom and apply it on the football field. Fork Union is first on this list with an incredible 70 NFL players, including Cardinals linebacker Darrell Blackstock, Cowboys linebacker Dexter Coakley, Niners quarterback Jim Druckenmiller, Raiders tight end Ricky Dudley, Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Ford, Oilers quarterback, yeah, I said Oilers, the Houston Oilers, Will Fuhrer, remember Will Fuhrer? Niners running back Carlos Hyde, Browns running back James Jackson, Texans defensive back Kareem Jackson, Packers quarterback Don Majkowski, Bengals running back Chris Perry, Eagles wide receiver Mike Quick, Cardinals wide receiver Sonny Randall. Hey, Fork Union Military Academy somehow is sending talented player after talented player to the NFL. 70 players? That is 12 better than Cal Poly. And we know the talent that has come out of Cal Poly. Fork Union is doing some impressive, impressive things. Hey, if you actually make it to the NFL, you are defying all of the odds. But somehow, if you go to one of the schools on our Daily Dose Top 5 today, the odds have been tipped a little in your favor because they seem to do it just a little bit better than anyone else. Hey, want to throw this out there? High school football is getting cranked up. Do yourself a favor. Go take in a local game. You will be highly entertained. It's probably better than anything else you're going to watch. Take in a high school game and just see. Maybe one of those players is going to be one of the 1 in 1,300 to go on to the NFL. You can say you saw them win. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be getting you ready for the coming college football season that is nearly upon us with our annual college football preview. Who are the teams to watch? Who are the players to watch? If you haven't been keeping up with all the crazy movement and transfers going on in college football, or if you just want to know, you know, who's going to be playing in the college football playoff this season, or who's going to be winning the Heisman, be sure you check out the Daily Dose next week, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out all the new things going up there every week. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the video, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.